We are on Ayin Tesem at Aleph, 79a. We are 8 lines down, Amar Rava. New thought, still tied into what we've been talking about, of Bittul and Min Bimino, and mixtures of carbon blood with other things, and other mixtures of other things, would you add other things? And I hope everything is taken care of for Daf for next week, for Monday through Thursday.
That's what I was just talking about.
Okay. As long as you're talking about it, that's a good sign.
We have it under control.
All right, great. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbanan b'Taima, v'Amar Rabbanan b'Ruba, v'Amar Rabbanan b'Chazusa. He says sometimes the Rabbanan said you follow the taste of the mixture to determine which item is considered dominant, and the mixture is identified that way. Sometimes they say to follow Rov. And sometimes they say to follow Chazusa, the appearance of something. Tosfos immediately jumps on this and says, even though it says Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, we're dealing with the Oraisas, not with the Rabbanans. And the way you know it is because no one mentioned one in 60, no one mentioned one in 100, all these other standards that we have. This is clearly dealing on a de Oraisa level. And then Tosfos has a nice long discussion after that. That was the first line of Tosfos Amar. So, where do I apply the different standards? Min b'she'eno mino b'tama. Mixtures of two different types of things. So I go by taste. We're going to come back to min b'she'eno mino in a moment. Min b'mino, same type of thing. Then beruba, then you follow majority. Hecha de'ika chazusa, if there is a visible difference between the two, and it's therefore min b'she'eno mino, then I say b'mara. You go by the appearance. Now, it's not quite clear what that means. Where there is a taste and where there is an appearance, what does that mean? So Rashi attempts to explain this for me. The Vehecha de'ika chazusa, Rashi says at the bottom there, Mili delo tali b'taima ela b'chazusa, something that is not dependent on taste, but on appearance. Kigon le'inyan tevilas mikvah, such as regarding immersion in a mikvah, b'chazusa, so then I go by appearances. Now, what is it that tells me that mikvah is appearance-based? Right? I thought he's putting the cart. Yeah, but why is it about appearance?
Because you don't need to drink. You're talking about the thing right. Going
no, you don't want to drink it. That's absolutely true. Don't drink the mikvah. And that's actually, the Yelad HaShachar actually says that. The Yelad HaShachar asks the question that I'm trying to formulate here, which is, it's sort of the other way around. The reason why mikvah goes by appearance is because we say here, go by appearances. If I didn't have Meiros that said, you know, when something falls in, does it change the appearance of the mikvah or not? I wouldn't have assumed that you go by appearance to define a kosher mikvah. So his answer is, it's not really that it's by appearance, it's that it's not by taste. Things that you don't eat, so the other way to tell the difference is by visual. Does it look any different? That seems to be his approach. The Taras HaKodesh notes, based on this Rashi, that where there is a taste difference and an appearance difference, the default is you go by taste. Taste is the overriding consideration. Something might look like it's the majority of the mixture based on appearances, but if it doesn't affect the taste overall, then it is something that you eat, then you go by taste. Bless you.
Urine, you're not
going to
taste.
Sorry?
The things that you're not going to taste.
Well, that's true, but they also had white wine mixed in. Right. But these are. But the idea that they're trying to present, I guess, is that this is something where people do taste. I don't know why. I mean, I'm still stuck on this. I've been looking at Mefarshim, and I haven't found anyone who provided a really clear explanation for the difference between things that are by Chazusa and things that are by Taima. The closest I have is that explanation of you don't eat a mikvah. But you're right. It doesn't adequately address all of the different cases we've been dealing with.
Issur
v'heter, we don't always go by appearance. Because, I mean, the classic No Saint Tom is Issur v'heter. You know, the classic No Saint Tom, a little milk fell into the meat or something like that. That's Issur v'heter. And I would go by taste, not by appearance. So I don't know what he means. I don't know what that statement means. I understand what it says, I get the words, but where we apply appearance and where we apply taste is not at all clear to me. Upliga, to Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara now goes all the way back to Reish Lakish, who we saw in the beginning of yesterday. Remember, we had the three lessons that Reish Lakish taught us, and the one that we focused on until now was we focused on his middle lesson about No Saint Tam being a Derabanan. That we spent some time talking about. But he also, one of his three lessons was that Isurin are Mavatal each other. Pigul and Nosar get mixed together, so one, the majority, can nullify the other, the minority. So Rabbi Elazar apparently would not believe that. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar. This is against Rabbi Elazar. The Amr Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says, "Kishem she'ein mitzvos mevalo zu'adzu, kach ein isurin mevalin zu'adzu." He says, mitzvos do not nullify each other, and so isurin do not nullify each other. So if you eat pigul and noser together, you can be liable for both. Depending on which one is the majority and all that. Not majority, but what's that? Depending on whether you have a kazayas of each one. Sorry?
Remember yesterday I asked that question, is there a svara to say that bittul is different whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's an iser?
Right, there we were dealing with dichoy.
Yeah.
Right, we had mitzvah and kedusha for that. Here he wants to suggest that mitzvahs would not nullify each other and neither would isurin. So the Gemara wants to know, where is this idea from, this idea of mitzvahs not being mevatel each other? Man shamet le da'amar in mitzvahs mevatel zu et zu. Who is the author of that position? Hillel he. Oh, that's Hillel. This Sanya is the Brisa. Says, Amru olav al hala hazakin shayak korchan bevas achas va'ochlan mishim shenemar al matzosu morim yochluhu. That they say that Hillel would wrap together the Pesach matzah and maror and eat them all together and say al matzosu morim yochluhu. And therefore the idea is, he wraps them all together and he's not concerned about bittul. Tosfos, of course, says, well, maybe he just used a large quantity of each. And it was large enough that you could taste them all, and therefore they're not nullified. The other thing, of course, is that Hillel quotes the wrong pasuk. Right? This is the classic Haggadah question. Right? He quotes the pasuk from Pesach Sheni. The pasuk by Pesach Rishon is Tzli Eishu Matzos Al Merim Yochluhu. The pasuk in Pesach Sheni is Al Matzos U Merim Yochluhu, which is one we always quote in the Haggadah, and it's a classic question at the Seder. Why did you quote that pasuk? And the answer is, well, it's late. We're already at Korech. Let's go weiter. No, there are all sorts of nice answers that are offered. It's our yearning for Pesach Sheni that, you know, we couldn't fulfill it at our Seder this year, but maybe by year we'll have the Beis HaMikdash, and then would you really bring a Pesach Sheni if the Beis HaMikdash wasn't built at Pesach Rishon? All sorts of nice answers that are associated with that don't help when you're dealing with our Gemara, because this is not at the Seder. So how do you answer this? The Nitziv, in his Meshiv Davar, offers an approach to understand why he's giving the Pesach Sheni Pasuk. He says, the Pasuk from Pesach Sheni clearly shows Matzah and Maror as Tafel, as secondary, subsidiary to the Korban Pesach. Because it's, you're eating the Korban Pesach al matzos umrorim. Korban Pesach is here, and matzah and maror are subsidiary. Whereas the Pesach Rishon Pasuk is tzli'esh umatzos, Korban Pesach and matzah together, al merorim, and then the maror is subsidiary. You want to show that your Pesach, that your Korban Pesach is the ikar, you use your Pesach Sheni Pasuk, even though technically it's not the accurate Pasuk. But that's where Hillel displays for us the idea that mitzvos will not be mevatel, will not nullify each other. And he carries that over to Isurin as well, which brings us to Ayin Tes Amud Beis, top of the page 79b, and a new thought. Dealing with pieces of pottery from the urinal of a Zav, an Avit, is the actual word for it. It's a tub, basically, that he would use. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Charsan shel Zav vizava. Charsan, pieces of pottery, if you see the top Rashi, Avit shel Meiraglayim, the bowl he uses for Meiraglayim, Vinishbar, was broken. V'charasav bolu mimeiraglayim hazavim. And what happens is that the shards, these pieces of pottery, have absorbed from the urine of the Zav, the hein metamin b'masa, and they will communicate tumah if you carry them. Sha'ala pishin nivlu utmeim, even though the urine is absorbed inside and touching it, we wouldn't get your fingers wet. Nonetheless, they communicate tumah kedistan b'masachas kelim, like the Mishnah says in kelim, maisila b'gemara denida, charsan shebalu mashkin tumein v'naflu avira tanura tanur tamei. We say that if the pottery absorbed the liquid and then fell into an oven, the oven would be tamei, shesof mashkin latzeis behesekat tanur. Because when you turn on the oven, the liquid will be extruded from the pottery, The vapor is going to emerge, and that's what communicates tuma to the space in which these are located. So they communicate tuma to an oven in which they are found. So back to our Gemara, Harsen shel zav v'zava. Pam rishon v'sheni tamei, shlishi tahor. I'm following Rashi here on this, and Rashi says, if you wash them once, you wash them a second time, they will still communicate tuma to an oven in which they are found, but the third time, tahor. The third time the oven is already tahor, you, by washing it three times, you have gotten rid of any liquid that's within the that's within them. That's the way that Rashi understands what we're saying over here. Not for this, because what we're talking about is the tumah of the ziva. It's not really about the cheres. In other words, if the concern was the cheres is tameh, then I would say they're broken, it's broken, it's fine. But the concern really isn't for the cheres. The cheres is just the vehicle by which the liquid is getting into the oven. And it's a liquid that's communicating the tumah. So, v'medvar mamurim, when is this true that washing it out like this works? Shenasan l'selcho mayim. If you put water into it, you washed it with water. But if you didn't use water, and Rashi explains, what you used was pure urine. You said, this is a urinal. I'm not washing it with water. I'm washing it with urine. In order to get rid of the urine of the zav, you added this tahar urine. Tameh. The min bimino abatel. It's tameh because it's min bimino, and therefore you were not mevatel the liquid that was in it. He has switched gears, the Tanakama, and said, really, what we're talking about is bitel, not washing it, but rather being mevatel. And he says, I don't care if you washed it 10 times, it's not going to help. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer Shlishi Afal Pishal Onasan L'Selchomayim Tar. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, third time is the charm, no matter what liquid you are using. I don't care. The Tosfos connects this to Milui V'Iru Gimel Pamim in the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Avodah Zarah Lama Gimel Amid Beis talks about a non-Jew who has a cup that he uses to drink wine, and yeah, you want to be able to use the cup, and there they talk about washing the cup three times in order to eliminate whatever was in it. And that's the way Rashi understands that Gemara there. I'm sorry, that's the way that Tosa understands that Gemara there. But Rashi there actually takes that differently. He takes it entirely differently. He says, that's talking about a new piece of pottery. And when it's a new clay, so to speak. And what he says there is, if the non-Jew used it the first time it was ever used, then it absorbed wine. If he used it the second time, it absorbed wine. If he was the third one to use it, but it had been used twice before, then the pottery already absorbed everything it was going to absorb, and therefore when he used it for his wine, it didn't absorb any of his wine. So Rashi there has an entirely different take on that Gemara.
Sorry, what did he say? Even if he didn't put water, it's
tahor. No. He's saying even if he didn't use water, he used something else.
What is that?
Meraglayim. Correct. That's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's position. That's correct. That's exactly right. There's also a discussion in the Martinu and the Mishnah and Kalim where this idea comes up as well. Based on the way we explain it, based on the way that Rashi explains it here, the purpose of the three times is to remove absorbed liquid. Based on the Bartanura and the Mishnah in Kalim, it's not true. Based on the Bartanura in Kalim, it's actually about removing surface liquid, which is very different. But we're talking about removing, as we understand it, it's absorbed liquid. Rashi was very clear about that concern.
I thought you could never get rid of absorbed liquid.
So apparently it's not true. Apparently Rashi believes that what we are saying here is that it's not so.
If we have a trade cook at Zaharis, he's saying you can be kosher or hummus, you can be kosher.
No, this is not a cooking case. Remember that. This is just meraglayim that was absorbed there through contact. So he might say that cooking is a different story. This wasn't absorbed through heat. I can just wash it enough times and it'll come out. I would not extrapolate from this to other cases. There is a discussion about milui v'iru for kashering, but it's not this. It transfers tumah even without heat, because if you heated it, the liquid would emerge. But in the cold environment, I'm putting it in an oven that's not on. It's already going to communicate tumah to the oven. So the idea here is, again, that I have a brisa which says I have pottery shards that absorbed meraglayim, they absorbed urine from the zav. I put them into an oven. Even when the oven is off, the oven now becomes tumah. It contains this avatumah, the liquid from the zav. However, if I wash it out with water, the Tanakhama says, if I wash it out three times with water, that's good enough. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yehuda, and it'll just wash out the stuff that was absorbed, as Rashi explains it here, against the Bartanura and Kalim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says no. He says, whatever liquid you use is fine, even if you actually used Meraglayim that were Tahor, that suffices. End of Brisas. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Man shamitlei, six lines down. Man shamitlei da'amar min b'mino lo batil. Whose view is it? Who is the Tanakhama here who says that min b'mino will not work to nullify? Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda talking. Well, very minu, but I learned that Rabbi Yehuda does not accept this idea of washing things out. Here's a look at the source. Pishton shetavato nida. A woman was in nida, and she spun flax. She's making linen. So now the flax gets the problem with the flax is not tumah directly from her, it's dry, but rather the flax is getting saliva from her. If you take a look at Rashi, he spells it out for you. The Rashi is right across that a little bit down. Pishtan shetavato nida masito tar shere yavesh harok. I'm sorry, I have to give you the background on it, is that she uses saliva when she's doing this. I thought Rashi was actually going to spell that out, but I don't see him saying it. The deal is that she uses saliva to wet the flax, so the flax dries out. So therefore, when it dries out, the saliva is not going to communicate tuma anymore. The Gemara Nida says it's only when it's actually like it would be when you spit it out. It's if it's liquid. So the idea is that she spits in order to moisten the flax that she's working with. The rule is that since it dries out, masito, if you shift the flax, if you move the flax, you are tahor. You don't gain a tumah from that because it's dry. V'mayalach, however, if it's still moist, masito tame. Then guess what? Someone who moves it is going to become tame mishum mashke pia because of the saliva from her mouth. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af harodvo b'mayim tame mishum mashke pia. He says if you rehydrate it, you moisten the flax with something else, some other liquid, after it already absorbed the saliva, thank you, it's going to communicate tuma because of the saliva. And the implication of Rabbi Yehuda's statement is, even if you moisten it many times. So why is it that Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the Avit Shalmei Raglayim, is willing to say washing it out eliminates the liquid, whereas regarding the flax, he doesn't? So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa explains it, urinal is in flax. Sha'ani rog dekarir. He says the saliva case is different. Dekarir. Dekarir, you might think means cold, but that's not what we're saying here. If you take a look at Rashi, dekarir, first he gives you a word in Old French, which I'm going to come back to in a moment. And then he says, nichnas bepishtan bechazka. It enters the flax powerfully. The kashalatzes, and it's hard to get that out. That's the saliva that's in the flax. Avamei raglayim lo bli becheres kulei hai. The urine in this bowl, in this pottery, does not get absorbed to the same extent. So if you take a look at your matargim in the back of the Gemara, he translates Old French into Yiddish. And the matargim in the Gemara in Nida claims that the word should not be dekarir, but rather dekadir, which certainly fits Rashi very well here, as well as later on in Zvachim, in Tzariches Amid Al, as well as in Menachos Pei Gimel. And the idea of the kadir is like the word koder, which is to puncture, to penetrate into something, exactly. So the idea is that where it penetrates well, then it's harder to clean, to wash it out. That's like the saliva in the flax. Whereas in the case of the Avet Shalmei Raglayim, it isn't getting in that much, and therefore it can be washed out with three attempts. Okay. We then go back to the point from our Mishnah, and it's Ari Bidam Psulim Yishafech La'ama. You had a kasher karban, the dam from the kasher karban got mixed in with the dam from the pasul karban. So we said, okay, Yishafech La'ama, we actually had a machlokes as to what to do within our Mishnah. So the question is, what was this machlokes about? B'maika Miflagi, what was the debate? Rav Zvid and Rav Papa will give me their own debate as to what we were debating in the Mishnah. The debate in the Mishnah, remember, was that the Tanakhama said you pour it out, and if you brought it, though, it's kosher. And Rabbi Eliezer said it's kosher even lechatchila. So that was our machlokas. So Amar Rizvid. Rizvid said, "Begozrin gezera b'mikdash kamiflagi." The machlokas is whether we make gezeros in the Beis Hamikdash. And Rashi explains the problem. Im osin siyag bekadshim laharchek min ha'avera. Do we make a barrier regarding karbanos to keep people from an inappropriate mixture from sinning? V'lo chayshin lahavsed kadshim. And we're not worried that that will cause you to destroy kadshim, which should have been kosher. The issue is, you're going to destroy these kachim, which didn't need to be, because you're concerned about other problems. Remember the discussion we had about redeeming the bechor that got mixed in with other karbanos? We said, we had a view that said, don't redeem the bechor in a market way, right? Because it's a zilzul to the bechor. And therefore, don't redeem the other karbanos that got mixed in with bechor. Right? We said don't redeem any of them. But what you're doing now is you're saying don't redeem the zvachim, don't redeem the karbanos that could have been redeemable that way and could have made the Beis HaMikdash more money, because you'll cause zilzul, you'll cause degradation for the bechor by doing so. Similarly here, we're saying don't use certain karbanos. We're going to make a gzera. Don't use the blood from these karbanos, even though they would be fine. Because otherwise you might come to use the blood when it's inappropriate. Specifically, when the majority is of the pasul karban. Our concern is, if we're going to allow you to use the blood when the majority is kosher karban, you might come to use the blood when the majority is not of the kosher karban, is of the pasul karban. I'm taking the simple way to read Rashi. There are multiple ways to read Rashi on this, but that's the most straightforward. So as Vid says, that's the machlokas. Dimar savar gozrin. The Tanakhama says we do make such a gezera, and we're not worried about the fallout. Umar savar lo gozrin. And the other view, Rabbi Eliezer's view, is that we do not make any such gezera. That's the idea. Rav Papa gives me a different approach in the Gemara. The Kulei Alma goes and he says, no, everybody agrees that we would make such a gezera. He says the debate actually doesn't apply regarding kosher karbanos mixed with pasul karbanos. Rather, the debate is regarding mixture of dam ha-nefesh with dam ha-tamtzis, the blood that emerges that's not from the moment of death. And the question is, will there be more dam ha-tamtzis? Will there be sufficient dam ha-tamtzis to actually overpower the dam ha-nefesh? That's my question. That's where we are of a debate. One says that's common and therefore I have to worry about it, and the other says no, it's not. If you see Rashi, it's mitzius. It's what's the reality in front of me. If you see Rashi, Dekulei Alma Gozrin, he walks you through this about 8-9 lines down in the wide lines. Dekulei Alma Gozrin, Delo Chashu Lehesed Kachim. We're not concerned about the loss for the Karbanos. Ubenis Ari Bedam Psulim Demilsa Deshchicha Ulo Polig Rabbi Eliezer. The case of mixture of blood from a kosher Karban and a pasul Karban, that's common, and Rabbi Eliezer will not disagree. Ella Benis Ari Bedam Atamtsis Luchutli Polig. The only debate is dama tamtis with dama nefesh. Umishum de kasavar dama tamtis shal behema eno matzor lios rabba al dama nefesh, because Rabbi Eliezer believes that you just don't have that much blood that's dama tamtis. Hilkach amay nigzor, so why make a gezera? Havalik nesai bedama chulin. It's like if you have carbon blood mixed with chulin blood, de lo gazrinon be midi mishum ploshkech. We don't make any such gezera because you don't have chulin blood in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanakhama savar pam shu rabba al dama nefesh. The Tanakhama says no. Sometimes there is more dama tamtzis. Hilkach gazrinun behecha de lo rabba atu hecha de rabba. So I make the gezera where there isn't a lot of dama tamtzis, because of the case where there might be. Umiu imlo nimlach v'nasin kashur de gezera ba'almo. Nonetheless, the conclusion of the Chachamim is it's only a gezera. So if you actually did it, and there was majority dama nefesh, it's okay. So here's a key point which the Gemara spells out. According to Rav Zvid, it's about do I make gezeros or not. And it's about the dam ha-tamtzis case, as well as about the dam psulim case. According to Rav Papa, it's only about dam ha-tamtzis, and what's the mitzius in a dam ha-tamtzis case? What is the physical reality? But by dam psulim, there really shouldn't be a machlokas. So therefore, the Gemara says, going back into the Gemara here, Bishlam al Rav Papa, I get it for a Papa. Hainu diksani nisari bedam psulim yishafech la'ama, bedam atamtzis yishafech la'ama. I understand why you list these each individually. They must be separate machlokos. Rav Papa will say, I only explain the dam atamtzis machlokas. The other machlokas must be something unique and different. The dam psulim one, it hasn't been explained at all. The dam kshirim, dam psulim. That one we haven't really, they're really two different things. Well, there must be, but we don't know why. He's not changing the gears of our Mishnah, but he's saying that's not explained this way. They're two different issues.
Well, he's only arguing on the case right before. The first
so you think he's actually going to say it's not a machlokes at all? Yeah.
It's not machlokes.
Yeah. No, that could be. The Elros Vidler Vinu Velisnin. Okay, let me leave it at that because you're right. You could. It's a reasonable read.
Well, that's what Rav Papa says.
That there is no machlokes at all.
On Dam Sun. Only in
no, you're right. I'm sorry. You're correct. Rav Papa is saying that there is no machlokas in that case. The only machlokas is on the latter case. Thank you. You're right. El Rav Zvid, Lervinu Velisninu. But according to Rav Zvid, why don't I actually merge the two cases and say them together? They're both about. Do I make a gezerah and there's a machlokas of Eliezer and the Tanakama in both? Yeah, Kasha. Okay. Not the end of the world, but it's a question. Okay. Mishnah. Dam Tamimim B'dam Bali Mumin. We're going to deal with more cases now of mixtures. We didn't complete them all in the previous Mishnah. We're going to see mixtures, as I put on the table, of Korban blood with Balmum blood in one cup, Korban blood with Balmum blood in multiple cups, Chatas blood mixed with Ola blood. So the Chatas blood is supposed to go above the line on the base on the Mizbeach, and the Ola blood is supposed to go below. And then finally, blood that's supposed to be placed one time on the Mizbeach with blood that's supposed to be placed four times on the Mizbeach. So, the Mishnah begins. Dam tamimim b'dam bali mumin yishafech la'ama. Tam mixed with bal mum. We're assuming they're in the same cup. The rule is yishafech la'ama. You pour it all out in the channel that runs out of the azara. That's what you do. Rashi explains why. The first Rashi on the Mishnah. Milsa d'shrichai. It's a common thing. You have bali mumin around. V'yishpoch la'ama. You pour it out. Gezera shema lo yarbe olav v'yachshiru. The concern is maybe there won't be sufficient tam blood to nullify it, and you're going to render it kosher. I'm following that version of Rashi. There are other ways to read that Rashi. So that's my first case. And everybody agrees, pour it out. Kos bekosos, but if you have individual cups for each, so Rabbi Eliezer defaults to the discussion we had already in the previous Mishnah. He says, if I already brought one, I can assume that was the Balmum one. And then I can bring the rest. He says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im kariv kos echad, if one cup was brought, you karvu kol kosos, now you can bring them all. V'chachamim omer, mafilu karvu kul, and chutz me'echad, and yishafek la'ama. V'chachamim say the same position they took regarding the heads and legs of the animal. He says, even if all but one were brought, I can't assume that the apostle one was in that mix. Rather, you still have to bring the last one. And the same discussion we had the last time, well, maybe it's really bringing two at a time, is going to apply here as well. Let's say you had dam that was supposed to be placed below the line, Ola blood, got mixed in with Chadas blood that should have been above the line. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yitain Lamala. Rabbi Eliezer says, you put it all on the Mizbeach above the line. And I say, you know what? Whatever should have been below that got put above is like water. Just like I was able to render things on the Mizbeach as Eitzim. So this, I view it like water. It wasn't really Yizrika for the inappropriate blood that ended up there. And then after that, you go back and you put it, but you put the rest below the line. That's easy. The Chacham say, no, you pour it out. You have to pour it into the channel. Vimlo nimlach v'nasan. But if he didn't ask any questions and he just put it on the mizbeach, kosher. Rashi says, Vimlo nimlach v'nasan kosher ha'elyon. The upper blood is going to be kosher even though you went and did this. Nonetheless, it's okay because some of it did get placed above. And the below blood is also going to be fine, as the Shita Mekubetzes notes. Because the below blood got placed below. So therefore, I'm okay as well. What you did in putting below blood above is really our problem. Okay, last case. It looks like a long rest of the Mishnah, but it's not, and I'd like to help out for Shabbos's daf by doing it. Let's say you have blood that should have gone on the Mizbeach one time with mixed in with four time blood. As Rashi says, for example, Dam Bechor got mixed in with Dam Meiser. And what he's talking about is whether it's in one cup or whether it's in multiple cups, it doesn't matter. So what do? Yinasnu b'matana achas. Just put it on the Mizbeach once. I'm sorry, there it's one blood with one blood. I said one and four. That's not true. One blood with one blood. It's so you do it once and you're done. That works easily. And the point is, the only reason you even need to say it right now, we assume, is that it's teaching me yesh bila, that the mixture counts as a valid mixture. I can assume that when I put on the Mizbeach, I'm getting samples of both. That's the novelty of this point. Matan arba b'matan arba, stuff that needs four matanos with four matanos, yinasim b'matan arba, you do four, same idea. Rashi gives you the example, dam ola got mixed in with dam shlamim or with dam asham. The matan arba b'matan ha'achas, what if it should have been four and it was one? Rabbi Eliezer omer yinasnu b'matan arba. Rabbi Eliezer says you do four times, even though some of it only needs one. Rabbi Yeshua omer yinasnu b'matan ha'achas. Rabbi Yeshua says you do only one, and that has to suffice. For example, Rashi says Ola that got mixed in with Bechor. That would be an example of that. So they're all supposed to be placed below the line, just a question of whether it's one time or four times. And now we get the machlokas. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, of course you do four. How are you overall about Tigra? According to you, I am reducing the number of times. I'm reducing the mitzvah. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, to Rabbi Yeshua says, how are you overall about Tosif? No. You read the same pasuk I did. So Amar le Rabbi Eliezer, lo nemar about Tosif, ala kashu be'atzma. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's not about Tosif. About Tosif is where it's standing there alone and it's clear it's supposed to be one and you do four. Right? It's like the machlokas that's sitting in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah and all that. The same thing. Here, I don't have a choice. It's confused. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, lo nemar about Tigra, ala kashu be'atzma. No, I'll give you the same answer. About Tigra is the same thing. V'odam Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua said, I'll add a key point. Kishan Asanta, when you do it, when you put it four times, Avarta Bal Tosif, V'asisa Maise Biyadecha. Right? If you do this, then it's actually a Maise Biyadayim, literally Biyadayim, it's Zigas Adam. You are actively violating the law by doing a second, third, and fourth time. Kishalona Sata, if you don't do it, Avarta Bal Tigra, then all you violated was Bal Tigra, you did too few, V'asisa Maise Biyadecha, V'shei Bal Tase. Better Shei Bal Tase. That's his position. Have a good Shabbos.